Why are y'all so spread out? Is a good answer, Dan. You're a good man. It's a little better. Dan. Okay, what are we talking about tonight? Serving together, being together. How God's called us together. Let's pray, because we've had some warfare already. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this group that you've called us to, Lord, this body of believers, this family. Lord, I'm grateful. And Lord, as we continue to study what it is that you have for us, teach us, Lord, show us, reveal your heart to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you bring me down just a little bit? It's probably louder because I'm in front, but just the overall volume is fine. And actually, while we're doing that, can you test this? Check. Susan's mic? No, that'd be off. Let's start with something simple, just because we've had a few difficulties tonight. So this is going to be a little bit of participation. I wish these worked better. Are these on? The ambient mic's on? No? Because you guys need to be a little talkative tonight. But start with something simple in our service on simple service. So this is the second in our series on that. My question to you guys is, easy one, why are we here? I don't mean, to clarify, I don't mean this building or this church. Real simple question, why do we exist? Kind of the meaning of life thing. Okay, to serve God, what else? Oh, wow. Yeah, do you want to do that? You can be my Vanna. To serve God, what else? To love God back, okay? To know him and to make, you have a coffee cup? I hope. What else? To glorify him. Yeah, to bring God glory. Look at this verse. Did you look at that verse? It's not cheating. That's where we look when we need answers in the Bible. Isaiah 43. Nice. He gave it to me earlier today, so that works out nice. Isaiah 43, starting in verse 7. I'm going to read through this, but I want you to see this. Everyone who is called by my name, who is that? Who's called by God's name? Everyone? Christians? Us? Whom I have created, why? For his glory. Why are we here? For his glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth, you are my witnesses. It's another reason, guys, to bring God glory, and we are his witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant. Witnesses, servants, to know him, to make him known, whom I have chosen that you may know and believe me. Why has he chosen us? That we may know him and believe him, right? That we would believe and have a relationship with him and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. That's a cool verse. You should commit that verse to memory and share that verse. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Second question. What was the first question? Why are we here? Was the first question. Second question, why are we here? Why are we here? Sounds the same, but it's different. Why are we here? Why do we gather? So what, let me ask it this way. Regardless of whether or not you feel that you're presently receiving what you're seeking or not here at this church, what is it that you desire to find in a church? Or what gain is there in church to you? Why are we here? Why do we gather? Because the Bible tells me so. Amen. Turn to the next verse. Hebrews. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted. That's one to hold on to. God can be trusted to keep his promise. And then the 24th verse says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. I've read that several meetings that we've had together. I like the way the New Living Translation says it too. Let's think of ways when we gather together. Why are we here? Why do we gather? Let's think of ways to motivate one another, to encourage one another to acts of love and to good works. Is that anybody get encouraged that way today where you work or where you go to school? Anybody encourage acts of love in you or good works? They did? Where were you? I want to work there. We're to gather together and motivate one another for acts of love and good works, and let us neglect, verse 25, meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I asked that question, did anybody get encouraged in that way outside of here? But unfortunately, week after week, there's service after service when I could probably ask that question here on the way out the door and say, did you get encouraged that way? Did you motivate somebody else? Did somebody motivate you, come alongside you and encourage acts of good, acts of love and good works to you? So it's a challenge, but we're told in verse 23 that God can be trusted to keep his promise. And these are the things he's instructing us to do. You know, honestly, tonight is not as I saw this second session being, but I want to talk about scripture with you. I want to talk about some of these things. So, third question, and these next two questions are just ones I sort of want you asking yourselves as we go through the rest of these scriptures. So the first question was, why are we here? Kind of a global, big sense. And then why are we here? And then the third question, anyone guess? Why are we here? Why are we? Why am I here? Why are you here? Why are we here? As in purpose, role, or function. What is it that I'm doing here? And I kind of challenged you guys last week saying, not only do I want you to church just to be a place where you belong or where you fit, but a place where you have purpose and you're needed, you're necessary, you're vital to the function of that. And we've talked about that, and the scriptures talk about the different roles of the body. None of those parts of our bodies, none of the parts of our bodies can function independent from the others. And we're the same way. There is no mouthpiece that can't operate with all the rest of the body working. So why are we here? Like, what is my purpose, my role, my function? And part of that, I said in the second session, we would do a spiritual gift assessment or inventory, and we'll talk about those toward the end. Fourth question, along with those things, so we're here for God's glory, and we're here Because God's called us to be together. We're to encourage each other. Why are we here? We need to kind of ask ourselves that throughout this. Tell me about this, the fourth question. What is worship? I know what we think it is, or what we say it is. You know, hey, let's stop eating. It's time for worship. But what is worship? Yeah, that's adoring the Lord, kiss toward the Son. But what might that look like? Is that only what we just did here with a guitar and our voices?
Life in obedience to him, looking to, you know, be made in his image, be made more like him. Which again, when you put your life every day, every breath.
Yeah. Who he created for his glory, that we might know him, that we might believe him, that we would be his witnesses, his servant, that we would encourage one another with acts of love, toward acts of love and good works. Too bad we weren't kicking off a giving campaign. That's an act of worship, right? Keep waiting for that giving campaign. That'll happen after I leave here. What else does worship look like? Service, yeah. Becoming more like Jesus with our lives, like Dan said. The next passage of Scripture is Romans chapter 12. And listen to this out of the New Living Translation. I mean, you can look it up in your Bibles. It'll be on in the New Living up on the screens. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Think about that. What has God done for you? Saved me, someone just said. Gave me life. If God saved you and gave you life and everything else from that day forward had been horrible, could you ever repay that gift that you have, that he saved you for eternity? Could you ever earn that? So he's saying, I plead with you. Give your bodies because of all he has done for you. So if that was all, and I say that sort of sarcastically, but if that was all that he ever did for you, and if your kids are saved, or you've become in any way more like Jesus, your life is better. Give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. I think it's interesting that he had to add that part. You know, that it would be a living and holy sacrifice, that it would be ongoing, but not like just what we thought was good enough, but in a way that he would find acceptable. And then the next line, this is truly the way to worship him, by giving him our whole life, out of gratitude for what he has done, in response to what he has done. That we would be willing to sacrifice. What does sacrifice mean? Just general terms. To give up, it costs you something, right? For the welfare of somebody else. That's truly worship. Verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. That's what Dan was talking about. Why? Then you will learn to know God's will for you. That's a process. That's one of the top three questions I get asked. What's God's will for me? Here's how you find out. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Verse 3 says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourselves. Remember that when we do these surveys. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Verse 4, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Understand that, guys. You and I have a responsibility to one another in the body of Christ, whether we do something functionally here or not, or serve a role or have an office. We belong to each other in the body of Christ. That's why, like when we shared communion, I talked about that. That unites us with believers in the past, present believers, not just in this building, but around the globe and those to come. We belong to each other, it says. Verse 6 says, in his grace, God's given us different gifts for doing certain things well. You heard me strumming the guitar up there. It's not my gift. God, thank you for Jim. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. So if you have these gifts, it's not just a matter of identifying them. But here he says, you actually got to use them. You have to apply them. And like these are great tools to get us moving in that direction. If we haven't really pondered that or we've got no idea what the Lord's gifted us in, they're great tools. You pray before you do them and sit down and answer them honestly. And it's a great tool to make you begin thinking about this. But then the next step is trying it out. You know, and there's one here, we'll talk about these more at the end. One of them is really, really long. It's got 128 statements that you answer. But it's sort of what follows that up, because then it tells you what you're geared toward, but then it gives you practical applications on how to apply it. And that's the big part of this, is this gets you started, but serving is just as important to identify what aren't your gifts as what are. You know, how many of you that have been serving the Lord for more than 6 months are still doing the very first thing that you started doing? Not too many. You know, usually we try things and succeed at some and fail at others, or the Lord grows us in the process and we begin doing different things. So serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. Verse 8, if your gift is to encourage others, then be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That's important. If some of you have a gift of joy, or maybe you're a greeter and somebody walks in and it's, hey, welcome to Old Town Christian Fellowship. I'm here to serve you. Now go sit down. You know, move along. I got somebody else to talk to. And that can completely destroy that person's heart, mind, soul. The enemy can use that towards ever being a part of this fellowship. So if showing kindness to others, then do it gladly. Look at verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. What does that mean? Huh? Be real. But how do we really love them? Because this, you know, church is a place where we act like we love everybody. Yeah, God gives us his love for them. But I see some of you in church act in a certain way towards other people, and then you get out here, and even to each other, I hear this and that. And
I think washing the disciples' feet. I think that that's a really good example. Loving someone would be serving them, and something that you would not really want to do, like washing somebody's feet. Not saying that we have to wash each other's feet, but maybe something that isn't something we want to do ourselves. We know God can give us that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's really why I did this in this translation, that verse 2, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. You know, all of these things, all these ways that we can really love people through serving, to me, just aren't things that come natural. You know, they're not something that Brian Eggert in the flesh would think of doing, especially the sacrifice part for someone else. Maybe you all are better people than me. But I need God to continue to change my mind, change the way I think, make me more like him. So other examples, don't pretend to love others, really love them. What are ways we can really love people? Tell them the truth. That can be in love and not in love, right? If you don't talk, we're doing the circle. Make yourself available. During what hours? Because there really is. A lot of times when people start serving, it's I'll do this day, or I'll do this, but not that. That's not me. That's not my calling. And that usually means I don't like it, or I don't want to be inconvenienced. And sometimes it's legit. You know, it's just not my gifting. But really love them. Usually love's going to cost you something. There's amazing reward in love as well.
Is there love without cost? Is there ever love without cost?
Is there ever love without cost? Other than looking at puppies on Facebook, I don't think so. Yeah. Yeah, there's risk, there's vulnerability. What else? Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Verse 10 says, love each other with genuine affection. Anyone ever see fake, phony love at church even? If not, and I don't want to pick on my southern friends, but drive down south, church in Virginia, any church, go into the church first time, and if some lady doesn't hug you and say, oh, how you doing, sugar? Like she's known you for 100 years. I'm sure she's genuine, but love each other with genuine affection. We can serve with a horrible attitude, can't we? I don't just mean doing stuff around here, but I mean even serving people, even sacrificing. I know when I took my plow off last night and then had to put it back on, to go serve somebody, that was all my fault because I didn't check their driveway on the way home. I wasn't loving them with genuine affection. It was out of duty, you know. Fortunately, my mother-in-law doesn't listen to this, so. Genuine affection means really love them. And where you can or where you struggle with it, ask God to help you with that, because he tells us to. Take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Never be lazy, verse 11. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Some of us just need that encouragement. Never be lazy, work hard, serve the Lord enthusiastically, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. Verse 13 says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Whew. You know, wait till you see these surveys. Because some of the questions on there, you think, do I make people feel welcome? Yeah. You know, somebody new comes in, I don't want them to have that awkward 10 minutes in between. I want to talk to them, encourage them. No idea what they got going on in their life, but hospitality, What if somebody's in need or they're down and out on their luck and they want to stay at my house? It's a different story sometimes. And sometimes it needs to be depending upon your family circumstances and kids and all that. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Next passage of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 8. It says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Above everything else. That we'll hit 1 Corinthians briefly, but what does fervent mean? Can't hear you. I looked it up. Intense. A passionate intensity is what the dictionary described it as. Above all things, have a passion and intensity in your love for one another. So don't be lazy. Work hard. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Love each other with genuine affection. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. But above all that, when it comes to us, we're to have an intensity in our love for one another. Real love. Love of action. For love will cover a multitude of sins. That means most of the time, the offenses that we irritate each other with shouldn't really even matter. You know? They should be let go before the irritation kicks in. Verse 9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Again, by grace we've been given these gifts. These things that you uniquely have. The why are we here? Why are you here? If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Ministers means serves, servants. That in all things, God may be glorified. Again, that's why we do this. That's why we're serving one another. That's why above all things, we're supposed to love one another so that in all things, God may be glorified. That's the result when we're doing this right. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So just covering that far, and I've got some more scriptures I want to do, but why are we here? In question number two, I guess. Why are we here? Why do we gather? What do you want in a church? What do you want this to look like? Family. I mean, we started our fellowship suppers back for November. I'm kind of interested what you guys, how you feel about that going forward too. But this bigger question, why do we gather? What do we want in a church? What do you want in a church? And again, regardless of whether you feel you're receiving that now or not, you know, if there's stuff that's not working or parts of the body aren't functioning right, that's part of this. We want to know. Okay, to receive knowledge of God through his word. That's great. And that can happen up here, and it can happen in small groups and homes. It can happen as you guys gather. You know, we talk about getting together for fellowship, and sometimes that is hanging out, but sometimes it's, you know, let's talk about this chunk. Or, hey, this is what we covered Sunday morning. Let's get together and talk about that a little more deeply. You know, that can happen. You want to feel like you belong somewhere or that you fit? Because it's easy, even though we're a small church, to feel like I'm not connected. That was one of the huge blessings about these suppers when we started, is that was an opportunity for people just to sit down and talk besides, hey, how you doing? You know, I mean, look, consider the amount of fellowship that happens here on a Sunday morning. Things are busy. Right? And we got a schedule and all of that stuff. As you get bigger, it's all that stuff gets more important. We got to start on time. We end worship at this time. We start teaching. Sunday school's got to end at this time. If Nicole's back there, it's 10 minutes earlier, right? Supposed to be. Yeah.
This was the first time that I really started connecting with people, because usually I just sit down and meet and I'm over here.
Mm.
And I sat with your mom, and then I sat with Doral tonight, and I actually made conversation and made a connection instead of just sitting there waiting.
Yeah. Hmm. It's good to know. Depending upon those of you, if you came Wednesday nights or you didn't, or you got involved in a home group or you didn't, or you started serving in some capacity, those are the opportunities that I have to get to know you better. And there's a lot of folks that have been coming to this church for years on Sunday mornings, and I say hello to them and try to reach out, but I don't know them, and they don't know their pastor. You know, that's sort of the extent of the fellowship. And it's by serving most of the time. And this is that microphone. If we have time, and we're rapidly running out of time, but Heidi's got an 86-minute long movie. So I want to give you an opportunity to share how serving has impacted you spiritually or getting connected, if there's anyone that wants to do that. But first, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll go through this kind of quick. Because one of these asks you, what kind of spiritual gifts would you most desire? And one, what do you least desire? But the whole chapter, quickly. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. I don't want you to misunderstand this either. These are things the Spirit gives us. They're not things that we just say, you know what, I want this one or that one. Or I'm going to work really hard on that. And we can get better in utilizing our gifts and stuff. But it says, you know, verse 2, that while you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There's different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift, verse 7, is given to each of us so we can help each other. It's not given to me for my glory. It's not given to me for my benefit even. It's given to me so I can help you. And your gift is given to you so you can help someone else. Verse 8 says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. Man, that's an awesome gift when you're struggling. I love it when one of you that have a gift, a spiritual gift of faith, come alongside me and pray with me on something. That's an amazing gift to benefit others. And someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. When you hear something, some of you have that gift. When you hear a teaching or somebody speaks something or tells you that they read this book, and you get this check in your spirit, and it's like, that doesn't sound right. And you examine the scriptures, and that's not of God. That can be a gift. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. Look at this in verse 11. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So who decides what your gift is? The Holy Spirit. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Remember that in the why are we here? There are many parts, but one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care, so we protect those parts that should not be seen. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care, so God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. Verse 31, So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And that leads into an entire chapter of what real love looks like. Practical ways. There's practical ways in the church. There's practical ways out of the church. In Matthew chapter 25, the whole sheep and the goats thing, Jesus says, I'll start at verse 37. It says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. What does that do for us? That when we do something for one of the least of these, what does that do for our perspective? What does it do for us spiritually? Do you do something for the least of these and it makes you feel like you're so much more awesome than them? Makes us thankful. Yeah, it's a good one. Because just like that, we could be where they are, right? And then he says, my brethren, inasmuch as you did it to the least of one of these, you did it to me. Could that also help us see them how Jesus sees them? Or maybe even see Jesus in one another? As we see different attributes in your gifts. So there's something here when he's talking about righteous and unrighteous that's tied to doing. When you've done any of these to the least of one of these, you did it to me. Then he also says to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So a couple things that serving does. One, it helps us discover and develop our spiritual gifts. Like I said earlier, serving is just as important showing us what our gifts aren't. You know, maybe you've heard one of our cries for children's ministry workers, and you thought, well, I could do that, and you go back and you do it three times, and it's just, this is killing me, and it's not blessing them. You know, and you discover, hey, that's just not where I belong. But in that, you discover, hey, this is unorganized or whatever, and I could make this better. So a lot of times it's developing gifts just through trying things. Spiritual assessment tests are a good tool, again, like I said, to get the exploration going, but it's just a jump start. Serving allows us to experience blessings in ministry, sometimes miracles in ministry that we would otherwise miss out on. How many of you guys or ladies have been asked to come alongside when somebody prays for somebody else or somebody does something for somebody else and you ended up being blessed by being a part of it? Just one. Serving allows us to experience joy and peace that comes from obedience. Again, 25:40, Matthew 25:40. Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, one of my brethren, you did it unto me. Serving helps us be more like Jesus. Like Dan was saying, transforming our life. This is what I wanted to give somebody an opportunity to speak to, but serving surrounds us with other Christians who can help us follow Jesus. That whole Hebrews 10:24, that we would encourage one another to acts of love and good works. Serving increases our faith. Serving's good for our soul. Listen to this, and then I'll end. Several studies have been conducted that directly tie serving with lower stress and relief of pain. In 2013, the Harvard Medical School Health Publications blog posted an article titled, "Volunteering May Be Good for Body and Mind." In the article, the author laid out the discoveries that were beginning to be made that directly tied volunteering with low blood pressure, longer living, and reduced stress levels. And check this out, this article from Harvard, in that same article did say, however, volunteering for the wrong reasons may cancel out all the benefits. Is your motivation pure? Is it to give God glory? Is it out of obedience? So, real quick, would anybody want to share how serving blessed them or changed their walk with God or made them feel connected or needed or any way that serving, we all know how serving blesses others, but anybody want to share how serving has blessed you? No. I got scared of feedback. Do you see that?
Just
Can't hear you.
Come up front, Nick.
So you're here. Anyone else, how serving impacted your walk with God in some way?
I haven't served here, but I served down in the Trenton Calvary Chapel Church where they had a school. And I have to say my motivation was not the right way when I first started. Because I said, well, I'll just put a day in. And they had a 4-day school work week, school week. And so I went in the capacity of doing administrative and putting all the music away after the songs were done with the worship team. And I loved it so much that I went 2 days a week. And I looked so much forward to that. And I was support staff for all the teachers in the school. Like, I copied things and worked on the school handbook. Whatever the teachers needed, I was, they needed me to run to Walmart to get supplies, I'd do that. And it turned into such a blessing for me to help the teachers be able to teach the kids. I mean, I was behind the scenes, but that's where I'd like to be, is behind the scenes, helping with whatever needed, copying stuff and putting books together.
Do you know what the hardest position to fill in for you orchestra people? The hardest position to fill in the orchestra? Second fiddle. You got a whole bunch of people that'll try out and want to be first fiddle, And they need a number of second fiddles. It's not just, the second by, but the behind the scene things. Yeah, Doral. And that's the thing, too, when you're serving, a lot of times you're planting and plowing, and you don't always get to see the crop, or you're not always there for the harvest. A lot of times God is gracious, and we get to see something like that even a year or two later. That part of increasing our faith, Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." That's what I discovered in service. You know, just I was willing to do this much, and I did that, and God blew my mind what he did with that. And continue to out of obedience. Jody. Andy.
To me, in the beginning when I first started serving, was the accountability of, you know, if you miss a Sunday and you're not serving, who misses, God misses you, but are people calling, you know, you miss a Sunday, you're the guy that takes the trash out. Everyone's like, trash.
Yeah. So we didn't notice Andy was gone, but things are stacking up out back. When I look around and I kind of know the different dynamics of relationships, most of them here have been formed through serving and in similar areas of ministry. You know, that's been huge. Ron.
That's not even what you're, what God's using you for, you know. So that's what I think serving is.
I thought you were warning people not to plant a church together.
No.
Because we're stuck together.
Well, it is. You know, you become brothers.
That, yeah.
You know, you get stuck with them.
Yeah. But it's a different kind of family, and it's a by choice family, you know, closer than family. So, one more blessing from serving, yeah. Good. Thanks. Peace and joy through obedience and getting to experience things you wouldn't normally get to experience. Spiritual gifts are given to the spiritual. That's also, you know, the unspiritual don't get these things. Just real quick on these tests, there's two different ones that I have. here. There's no. This says test, but their assessments. Wow, he's sweating. I want, if you're interested in doing this, I encourage you to take both.